Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Texter making an interesting point about Syria and Lindsey Graham blaming Trump for the attack there by ISIS. Syrian nut jobs can't kill Americans in Syria if Americans aren't in Syria.
Well, that's pretty much logical, just like a wall would keep people from crossing.
Yeah, it's strange. They work pretty well at the jails and the prisons. It's odd.
That's a good point. Strange. Yeah.
One guy pointed out that his stepfather, unfortunately, was sentenced to prison for 4 years, and he served the whole 4 years because there was a wall around it.
Yes.
He couldn't escape, strangely. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, if you're right. I mean, if these walls are immoral at the border, I mean, they ought to come down from around the prisons and the jails for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and definitely from around Nancy's house.
Well, they can bring up the morality issue. That's debatable. But the physical presence of a physical wall will stop an individual from going through that border. Now, yes, maybe they go over it, they go around it, they go under it, but it slows them down and is actually a barrier to entrance.
Yes, well, I think actually the problem. If the Democrats thought the wall wouldn't work, they'd spend the money to build it.
Exactly.
They'd love to spend money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, this is a problem. Okay. Do you see what Beto said?
Oh.
The white dude who's trying to sound Hispanic but really isn't.
Oh, okay.
The one with the skateboard, who's hip, who's hot, who's cool, because he's like young and he has a skateboard, so we should totally vote for him.
Yeah, that's a great reason to vote for someone.
Yeah, despite his DUI and running from the cops. Other than that, he's totally cool. Yeah. Beto, did you see he questioned the relevance of the Constitution?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's just some old junk set down 230 years ago. And, you know, we can't really live that way anymore. We really shouldn't. We should throw it out. And I was like, yeah, man, he's so hip. He's so smart. Okay. Do you notice how Beto, the genius, did not specify which of our rights he's proposing we give up?
Yeah.
That's strange. Is it free speech? Because, you know, it's cool when the government tells you what you can't say. It's really hip. You'll love it. Our privacy, freedom from search and surveillance by the government under the Fourth Amendment, because it's hip when the government can bust into your home for any reason and spy on you with no warrant.
Well, maybe there's a few other things, documents we ought to question. Maybe the Paris Climate Accord.
Yes.
Maybe Roe versus Wade.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, the some of the EPA regulations.
Those are old. They're old. They're not hip at all.
You know, maybe we should question minimum wage laws, since the marketplace should be the one that determines what a job is worth and not some type of random figure that is thrown out by some socialist. Maybe those are some things we should question, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to know, I mean, if Beto's going to throw out, like, he's going to throw out the whole thing, I mean, he did say throw it out. I mean, he didn't say some of it, he said all of it. I mean, are we going to retain our right to hold meetings, birthday parties, without government permission? Because it's hip to need government approval before you can meet? Is that going to, or maybe we're going to give up our right to practice or not practice a religion.
Yeah.
Because religious crackdowns, like in China, are so hip and fun. You're going
to
love it.
Because, you know, we've got to maintain that separation of church and state by having the state outlaw religion.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so you throw the Constitution out. I mean, the state could mandate a religion.
Yeah.
They could have us worshiping hummus and Gaia. I mean, who knows, right?
Hummus.
Yeah, why not?
Isn't that something at Whole Foods?
Well, yeah, so it should be worshipped,
okay.
Right? Totally. Yeah. Anyway. So, I mean, you lose any of those rights, you live in a totalitarian society. I don't know what's so cool about that. I mean, how do they not follow up question here? Okay, Beto, you want to throw out the Constitution. What would you prefer? Which rights do we need to get rid of because they're too old-fashioned? That was written by a bunch of old white dudes. It's illegitimate. Awesome, cool. Let's throw it out. What part are you going to throw out because it's all kind of important?
Now, what if we throw out the rules that allow him to run for Senate?
I like that idea.
You know, I mean, or run for any office. You know, maybe we could change the rules where... He can't do that.
Yeah, and of course they want to throw the Constitution out because they don't like the fact that they live in a republic. And believe me, they know they live in a republic.
Yes.
Or they wouldn't be fighting so hard to convince us it's a democracy.
Exactly. That's why they keep using the D word all the time. And I'm not talking Democrat. I'm saying democracy. Because these people all know full well this is not a democracy. And quite honestly, they don't want a democracy.
If it was a
I was just going to say they want people to think that they want a democracy because people think that a democracy lets the people get their way.
Here's how you can tell we don't live in a democracy. It's one sure sign. If we lived in a democracy, Hillary would be the president because she got more votes.
Mm-hmm.
We don't live in one, thank God.
Yes. We have.
Oh, darn. The whole call screen went down, and I just was going to go to this guy, Larry. I was fascinated by what he had to say. Darn it. Oh, please call me back, Larry. He was saying he'd met a metaphysician from Syria who preferred to have Assad as the ruler of Syria.
I'll be honest with you. I can see why.
I would prefer to have Assad as the ruler of Syria.
And not that I think that he's any wonderful moral character, but Syria was stable. It was not necessarily a country that I'd want to live in, but Syria was somewhat stable, and minorities were protected until you had the civil war that began where Islamic radicals began attacking everyone in sight, basically. And, you know, then, of course, you had the whole civil war thing.
All you need to know about Syria is whose side Assad is on. Yeah. Christians, Jews, Shia Muslims, because Sunni Muslims like ISIS kill them when they can get their hands on them. Kurds, Alawites,
yeah,
and just plain old non-secular folks who just don't want to be part of a religion. Right. All of those were in terrible danger from the rebels that we were training and supporting because they were jihadist. Yeah. And, you know, thank God Assad beat them. And, you know, Assad's methods are brutal, but so are the jihadists he was fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I dare to ask if we had hordes of jihadists on our border. But wait a minute. Never mind. We do have hordes of jihadists on our borders. If we were fighting large groups of jihadists in our country, what would we resort to?
Yeah.
How far would you go? Would you throw off the Geneva Convention? I would. Well, Assad did.
The Geneva Convention only applies to two nations,
right?
To uniformed armies. That's one, and I'm not trying to make excuses for anything. Don't get me wrong, but you know we want to get into detail here. That's one of the details of the Geneva Convention. It is talking about waging war between uniformed armies. It does not talk about terrorists.
Texter writes, Tara, Trump knows more than the generals. This is sarcastic. That's why he decided on one conversation with Turkey president to pull our troops out of Syria. I'm sorry, that's not true. Trump has been talking about pulling those troops out of Syria since he was on the campaign path.
Yeah.
He said he was going to defeat ISIS and bring our troops home. He couldn't have been more specific. This is old.
Yeah.
That's fake news.
I'll be honest with you. I'm still not satisfied with his decision, even though we shouldn't have been there to begin with. This is a war that Obama got us into. This is what Democrats did. Democrats got us into Syria. Those troops were put there by Obama. And the problem that we have in this country is because of the way that we wage war, which is to artificially try to limit, collateral damage,
mm-hmm.
and not necessarily ever pursue it to victory, which means the defeat of the enemy, and too often want to negotiate some type of surrender or an end to hostilities. This is what the Democrats got us into, and it is very difficult to get yourself out of there, as we know from Afghanistan.
But here's what I would say. But remember this, though, Lee. Why did Obama put the troops in Syria? Oh, to kill ISIS? No. To train the rebels. Who were the rebels? Al-Qaeda and ISIS. They were not there defeating ISIS. They were there and watched a 30,000-strong caliphate develop, which Iraqis then had to sacrifice their lives and Russians and us defeating. We didn't go into defeat ISIS mode till Trump took office. This is why he wants them out of Syria, so they will not go back to training ISIS and Al-Qaeda when Trump is gone. He's got to get them out of there to protect us from ISIS.
And just remember, from your democracy scenario earlier, were Hillary president, she would have declared a no-fly zone over Syria.
Over the caliphate.
Which would have put us in direct conflict and basically at war with Russia.
And Russia was there defeating ISIS. Okay, yeah. Here we go. Larry in Simpsonville very much wanted to hear what you had to say. Go ahead, Larry.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show.
Thanks.
I'll be brief. I'm a physician. Several years ago, I met a Syrian physician, a surgeon. And while I didn't speak good English, we could have a fairly nice conversation. He was by no means a political ideologue. But obviously, we talked about the situation there. He made it quite clear, no uncertain terms, that while he was not a cheerleader of Assad, he most definitely favored Assad staying in power. He feared for Christian security and really survival if some of the other opponent groups were to come into power.
Listen, Assad did not put hundreds of thousands of Christians into mass graves. The rebels we trained and armed did. And the media is hoping that Americans won't figure that out. We committed just atrocities in Syria. It was horrible what we did. And it was horrible what we did under the leadership and the very generals from the Obama administration. So I'm fascinated. I would love to talk to that guy, Larry, if you have a way to contact him. I would love to have a conversation with him. If, you know, again, a physician
who's
from
Syria.
Probably
back in Syria. Okay. I could probably work on that. It may take a little time. But, I can see what I could do.
That would be awesome. But I'm not surprised that somebody from Syria would be in support of Assad. He has managed to keep his people alive against overwhelming odds. And that is why Trump was so gung-ho to partner with the Russians to defeat the rebels, because that is in our national interest. Oh, yeah. Drop-kicking the Constitution would be totally cool. And I know what you liberal trolls think, too. I know how your little minds work. You were only against getting rid of the First Amendment when you thought it would affect you. But see, you think that Beto is cool. And he, man, we can do it in such a way that liberals have free speech rights and a freedom of religion and the Fourth Amendment still applies. We can do it, but we'll only apply it to conservatives. It's only this conservative hate speech that has to be squelched. It's just nothing else. It'd be fine. We live in different times now because of all these racists and all. Let me ask you, liberals, something. I want to make you think for a minute, okay? Watch how they treat Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Now watch. It's day in and day out now. The Democrat leadership's trying to silence her. I, too, would prefer she shut up, but I don't want to make her do it with a gun. No, just watch the news. Now, let me ask you a question. If your man Beto got his way, how long do you think it would be before they use that to shut up people like Bernie Sanders when he was running against Hillary? People like you, people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Just watch. They're already trying to do it now. They just can't. They don't have the means to force her to disappear. They don't have the means to shut her up. They don't have the means to raid her house and listen in on her. Now, they got the means to do that to Republicans right now, and y'all are fine with that. You're fine with us having no rights. I can't tell you how fast this will migrate to you. The second you criticize them, they are not for you. Can you not see that? They're not for you. They're for total power for them. And the only thing left in their way when we're silenced and gone is going to be people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, people like Bernie Sanders. They will shut them up fast. They will shut them up very, very quickly. All right, moving on. Further proof that I am right, that I did not exaggerate. Do you remember when the Greenville County school system was practically leading your children on a march to protest you having guns? And do you remember when they had their spokesperson on, very nice person? And I pointed out to her, I said, you realize that the women's march, I mean, the people you are following and having a whole day here because of, are anti-Semites. I mean, horrible anti-Semites, bigots and racist. Yeah, I've been through all the clips. I don't need to play them again. Homosexuals are from the devil. Hitler should have killed the Jews. On and on and on and on. And I hit her with that, and she was completely unfazed by it. Oh, well, no, I haven't heard about it. Well, look it up. The group leading our kids out of school, the group you are compromising with to have an anti-gun day in school, because that's what the Greenville County school system did, are a bunch of anti-Semites cut from the same cloth as the Nazis. Same belief systems. Farrakhan sympathizers. Folks, Louis Farrakhan put out a newsletter praising Hitler for exterminating the Jews. The number two in leadership in the Democrat Party handed that newsletter out. Did it for over a year, Keith Ellison. He is a bigot and an anti-Semite. So I'm just wondering if our Senator, Tim Scott, can so easily condemn Republican leaders for allowing Representative Steve King to exist without a care in the world that Steve King says he was completely misquoted by the New York Times and never said anything racist, which I believe. What he said didn't make sense. No one would say that to a New York Times reporter. Nobody would walk into the New York Times newsroom in their right mind and praise white supremacy. Nobody would do that. I believe him. But okay, if Lindsey Graham, who has now signed a petition, they want to censure Steve King for something he didn't say. And Tim Scott has signed it. And Tim Scott demanded the Republican Leadership Act in that disgusting editorial in the Washington Post. Listen, if Steve King had said what the New York Times claimed, he said, fine, I'm on board. I don't like racism. I don't care who does it. I'll call them out. But when he released the full transcript, that wasn't what he said. So, I mean, if Tim Scott really cares about anti-Semitism and racism and bigotry and bias, as he claims, just once, I want to challenge you, Senator, just once, condemn the almost daily anti-Semitism we're seeing now from the Democrat Party. It is horrific. Look, if Sarah Silverman, a rabid liberal Jew, can condemn the Women's March, why can't you? Why can't you? If Sarah Silverman can condemn the Women's March and the leaders of the Women's March, saying she's heartbroken, but stays hopeful that things will change. If the Southern Poverty Law Center breaks off its association with the Women's March because of the rabid anti-Semitism, surely you can find the guts, I know it'll be hard, to condemn the Democratic leadership for their anti-Semitism when the number two, Keith Ellison, in power, did the same thing the Women's March leaders did. Sympathized with Farrakhan, pushed Farrakhan, but yet you won't criticize them. Which says to me that it's just fake. Lindsey Graham doesn't care about racism or anti-Semitism, neither does Tim Scott. It's fake. It's a big show for the donors. I mean, surely if Sarah Silverman can find the courage to condemn the leadership of the Democrat Party, including the Women Marcher, then surely you can. If, what's her name? Alyssa Milano can find the courage. It's probably okay to come out now and do it. You can do it, Senator. You can do it. Find a backbone. I know it's in there somewhere. Somewhere there's a backbone in there. Somewhere. You'll do what the world should have done before World War II and stand up for the Jews. You got another time. You got another chance to do it now. Stand with me. You want to fight anti-Semitism and racism? Then start where it is right now. There's a ton of examples in the Democrat leadership, including Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her association. Start there just once, senators. Just once. Have the gonads to call it out. They won't. They're spineless, gutless wonders, both of them. Oh, look, here we go. Lee.
Okay.
Rasmussen poll. Nearly 6 in 10 swing voters, those are the important ones, say border wall not immoral. Well, 6 in 10, that's like 60%, even in Common Core math.
So, how can a wall be immoral? Now, you can talk about a policy or a way of treating people as being immoral, but a wall in and of itself is not immoral or moral, either one. It is an inanimate object. And if you want to talk morality or a policy, fine, let's talk this. But this idiotic notion that, that a wall doesn't work or it is immoral is ridiculous.
Wow. Okay, this is good. Overall, about Americans also by a majority want all immigration to the U.S. tightly controlled. Wow, that sounds a lot like what Trump is saying. About 53% of all U.S. voters. Okay, when they poll all voters and get 53%, if they polled people who actually vote, not just people who are registered, it'd probably be more like 58.
Yeah,
it goes up because not all voters vote. It's only depending on the race, half of them, or 60% or whatever. You know, sometimes down to the 40s if it's primary. Anyway.
And then in Chicago, they vote more than once. Well, anyway,
yes, so. And that does skew things, yes. Roughly 56% of swing voters, here's the number. Okay, swing voters now. And the number goes up. Roughly 50% of swing voters said they support a policy to tightly control all immigration to the U.S., along with 80% of GOP voters who agree.
83%.
Well, the other 20% are Mitt Romney family members. And people who know Marco Rubio. And Nikki Haley.
You can throw Jeb Bush in there, too.
Yeah, Jeb Bush, too.
Because, you know, illegal immigration is an act of love.
An act of love, even when MS-13 does it. I love the person on the text line who suggested since Nancy Pelosi said that MS-13 members were you know, citizens of God or whatever, creatures of God, angels, I don't remember what exactly, but they were from God, that they ought to do the protection for the State of the Union.
You know, I was just going to suggest that.
Why not?
Maybe they, you know.
They're tough.
Exactly, and they know how to handle weapons and how to take care of situations.
Machetes, too.
Exactly, you know, and they're good at fighting, they're good at organizing and getting people to show up for work, so why not?
Because you'll die if you don't show up. Okay. She got all that going on. Meanwhile, did you see this? I don't know what to make of this, okay? I have no idea if the stats in here are true. I just want to say that. But there's something's going on here. Do you see this with the EMS director putting in for retirement?
Yes.
Yeah. EMS, Greenville County EMS Director Tim Galt. Okay, now somebody who calling themselves Citizen Kane has put up this petition saying, you know, our response times are really terrible. They're not what's being officially claimed. And I kind of dismiss that. Some folks are texting and saying, why don't you talk about this? Well, because the official stats don't reflect that.
Yeah.
But the only reason that I think this is interesting is that you've got folks like Councilman Lynn Ballard and some others on the council saying they're taking this petition seriously and they want an investigation to see basically if the response time stats have been doctored.
Well, you know,
I'm not saying they have.
Yeah, that's worthy of investigation. I just petitions. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't pay any attention to petitions.
No, I don't either.
I'm sorry.
It has
no weight of law, period. End of story.
Yeah, but for some reason, this is being taken seriously by these folks on the council. Including Lynn Ballard, who I generally take seriously. And there's a reason for that. And it's probably not anything you can read in the media right now. So it's just one of those things I'd keep my eye on to see what comes of it. It's kind of interesting, the timing of the retirement. And there's a reason that the Greenville News and the local news media is talking about this. And that's because they know the rest of the off-the-record story, whatever it is. So just keep your eye on it. Something's up with that.
You know, you're always going to have issues with that when you've got a large metropolitan area inside a very otherwise rural county. You know, Greenville's that to some degree, Anderson that to a very big degree, because you've got, you know, Anderson City in the center of the county, and then you've got all these smaller towns all around it, you know, Townville, Williamston, Pelzer, West Pelzer, Shedder, Star, Iva, which is way down there on the other end, Townville, Pendleton, Powdersville. You know, it's your response times are going to be greater when you're out of the rural area. I know that. I live out there. I know what it's like.
Yeah, and we've talked about that a lot, too, just because this place is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable how much, you know, space the upstate sprawls crossed. So, yeah, it's going to be places.
Well, and the counties, too. I mean, you know, I know that folks in Anderson law enforcement who are responsible for things down there in the lower part of the county, it could take them 30, 40 minutes to get somewhere in the lower part of the county. I mean, part of that is because there's nothing but, you know, back roads to take to get to, like, down to the Star Iva area around Crescent High School and all that stuff. It takes time because you've got these meandering country roads. You don't have a straight interstate taking you somewhere.
Absolutely. Yeah, because all those were built in Florence County, where no one lives.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So, see, that's why.
Gold-plated. With nice concrete subsurface and, you know, runoff areas and nice pretty bridge. I'll be honest with you. We were down in Charleston down toward the end of the year, right before Christmas, down in that area. It's amazing how nice and smooth all those roads are down there and those really nice. All the infrastructure looks really nice. Now, of course, you get into the city of Charleston, though, some of those areas around King Street and Market Street, that's pretty rough stuff. But everything else around it looks really nice.
That's just because it's been flooded for so many times.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, that was my reaction. I will not forget driving from Charleston for an interview here into Greenville. And I was like, wow, you could see the roads degrade as you cross the state.
Yeah.
They around Columbia, they were still pretty okay.
Yeah.
Not as good as Charleston, though. And then as you got here, I was like, dang. I mean, this place looks like it's been shelled in World War III.
Oh, I know. It looks like the National Guard's been doing mortar practice.
I know. I mean, I was distinct enough that I noticed it driving in here and wondered about it.
And we got areas on 85 again where there's just asphalt that's just coming up in pieces.
Yep.
You know, especially right here in that corridor between Whitehorse Road and the Woodruff Road area. Where they've, you know, and they've paved over, they've repaired a few of them, but there's plenty of other ones there where this, you know, there's like a good, you know, inch drop off as you run through it. And you got pieces of asphalt coming up, hitting you. I got, you know, scratches all over my little car and dings in the windshield from all the rocks that are being thrown up by these trucks every time they go over this stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, we were talking about ambulance response times.
Yeah, ambulance response. Yeah, so in other words, the roads could be part of it. I believe that, too. Texter writes, do drivers know what a blinker is used for in South Carolina? No.
They have no blinking idea.
No. That's actually been documented. There was an insurance study when I was in Myrtle Beach, and they were citing like which states were worse for certain things. And we do not use blinkers here, and yield signs mean nothing to us. They have no meaning. No joke. I mean, that's from like some insurance institute. I don't know. I was laughing at it at the time. Texture rates, if walls don't work, the halls of Congress should be a gazebo.
That's right.
That was Mrs. Veronica.
Like
good morning,
that.
Veronica.
Yes, very, very well done.
Yes. Texter writes, Tara, can you please explain where did the money go that Congress set aside for a wall under Bush or Obama? Yes, I can. Within the first 9 months after the Fence Act was signed by Bush, they very quietly slipped a thing into the budget saying, well, actually, we're just going to use satellites to watch people come over the border, and we're going to use unmanned kiosks and drones. Which don't stop anybody. Yeah. Then they pulled the border guard in a lot of these big sections. They pulled them, you know, half a mile off the border. So all the border guard could do was watch the illegals come in. Then they declared that it did not work and dismantled the entire thing $40 billion later.
And I'm sure there was a lot of government contractors that made a ton of money off of it.
Yeah, I don't know if it was 40. It was a lot of money, though. Yeah. But that's where it went. It failed. Which was, by the way, on purpose.
Yeah, that's failed by
that
design.
That was not an accident. Yeah. It was not at all.
Success is not an option.
That is, you know what, that, Lee, you have just nailed it. That right there should be the slogan for the Uniparty's immigration plan.
Exactly. Security is not an option.
Yeah. Texter writes, hey, thanks for the present. It was very nice of you. I hope you are still doing better. I try to keep mom updated. She does ask questions. Thanks again. Be careful. I love you. So says Anne. Well, thanks, Anne. I love you, too. I think.
Okay. In a very platonic way, I'm sure.
And I just cracked up. These people on the text line forget, and they text me their most personal things. You should see some of the fights people get in, thinking they're texting each other, and they're texting me on the text line.
It's worse than Facebook.
Oh, there was one this morning that was a doozer. You wasted 40 minutes talking to somebody. You wasted 40 minutes of my life. What use do I have for you anymore? I'm like, ooh. No, sounds like you need some counseling for you and that person. And you know that you sent it to the text line. So anyway, texter writes, tear a bloody spot on the wall. Yeah, you could use that for the whole show today, pretty much.
Really?
Yeah. It's pretty crazy when you watch Sarah Silverman take a bigger stand against racism and anti-Semitism in the Democrat Party than the actual leaders of the Republican Party are.
Oh, but we've been told, there's not a strain of racism in the left.
Well, Sarah Silverman sure thinks they are. And by the way, you know where this started? This finally a rebellion against the gross, over-the-top anti-Semitism that really is, on a daily basis, becoming a problem in the Democrat Party. Yeah. You know, I've always wondered, how could we get to the point where you had World War II and the extermination of 6 million Jews? Like, you had to get there very incrementally. We're watching it in the Democrat Party right now. Yeah. And, you know, hats off to Alyssa Milano for saying she's done with the women's movement because they're too anti-Semitic. And now Sarah Silverman finding the guts to do that, too. And you know, these are the people who led our kids out of our schools in that anti-gun march.
I know.
And these are the same people. I mean, I don't want to get in trouble here, but, you know, Ms. Bretherton, I told her that anti-Semites were putting this gun day on. It didn't even faze her. So, I mean, they were the ones who, you know, we had in-school sessions at the direction of the Women's March here in Greenville County. But, you know, we were following a bunch of anti-Semites around. You know, so hats off to Sarah Silverman, liberal loon that she is, for being able to condemn it. Now, you know, let's get Lindsey Graham and Tim Scott to get that kind of backbone. These guys, if Sarah Silverman can say it, the donors probably won't mind if you tell the truth. If you condemn everybody for their bias up there, not just the leaders of your own party. But I'm not holding my breath.
And now it's time for
five
random
facts.
Oh, my six-year-old would love this. Number one random fact, the way herring communicate underwater is through basically passing gas. They smell nasty, too, when they come out of the water as well. Anyway, they shoot air out of their rear ends, which creates a high-frequency sound that other herring can hear. Apparently, they have an entire language based on this high-frequency gas passing that only they can understand, but they say it is a language. Fascinating. Random fact number two. National Geographic has printed over 500 photos of women with bare breasts since it started in 1896. They average around 4 or 5 a year. Random fact number three. Only four acts have ever had a top 40 hit in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, and 2010s. Michael Jackson, Madonna, Weird Al Yankovic, okay, and U2. Random fact number four. I knew it. Heinz ketchup exits its glass bottle at 0.028 miles per hour, which is around the same speed as the average snail. Feels like that too, doesn't it? And finally, random fact number five. The first movie sequel ever made in America, The Fall of a Nation, was in 1916. It was the sequel to The Birth of a Nation in 1915, which was about how heroic the KKK was after the Civil War. And it's considered one of the most racist movies in history.
This has been today's edition of
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Random
facts. Finally, going to wrap the show up with a little bit of this. Top things you'll never hear at a Walmart. I stumbled upon this and it was great. Number one, no. This is things you'll never hear at a Walmart. I won't buy you Cocoa Puffs. They have no nutritional value. Top things you'll never hear at a Walmart. The right side won the Civil War. Top things you'll never hear at a Walmart. Hey, aren't you in my CrossFit class? Oh boy, this one is so true. Top things you'll never hear at a Walmart. If I buy these pajamas, I'm only wearing them at home. Top things you'll never hear that you will never hear at a Walmart. I should really start wearing a bra. Here's another one. Boy, these employees sure seem to love this job, this place, these customers, and themselves. Top things you'll never hear at a Walmart. I'll only buy these Crocs if they're genuine Italian leather. Making sure food is non-GMO is so important to me. No, you won't hear that at Walmart. Here's another one you'll never hear at Walmart. Your children are so well-behaved. And finally, top things you'll never hear at a Walmart. You know, I feel this bathroom isn't quite the right configuration to build a proper meth lab. Oh, I love that. I might read that again tomorrow in a different hour. I don't know. It just cracked me up. All right. Text line 71307 during the final moments of this show. I will commence to go to the text line, see what's there. It's always something good. Texter writes, no shoes, no shirt, no service. Yeah, you're not going to hear that in Walmart. Texter writes, does this mean our politicians are nothing but a bunch of herring? It could. It could.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.